I want us to think together for a few moments about just who do you think you are? Who are you? And let's talk a little bit about our sense of identity. We're in a message series here called Believe. And today's message is about our identity in Christ, in essence, who am I? And our key idea today is as follows. Let's put it up here on the screen. And I'm going to ask everybody to read this aloud and loudly with me. You ready? Here we go. Here's our key idea. I believe I am significant because of my position as a child of God. Now, some of you read that and you think, well, you know, I always thought we were taught we shouldn't love ourselves. Who told you that? You should love what God loves, right? Hello. Everybody awake? You should love what God loves, and God loves you. In fact, the Bible even says, love your neighbor as you show me a person who doesn't have a healthy sense of self-love. I'll show you somebody who's a little dangerous. You should have a sense God wired, God created you in his image. Now, here's the thing. Sin has separated us, but God in his wonderful grace can redeem us and reconcile us unto himself. And in Christ, I am significant because of my position as a child of God. Here's our key verse from John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And Christ went to the cross not to make it impossible, but to make it possible and available for us to have an identity as beloved children of God. Now, if you've not seen the Bourne movies, you've certainly heard about them. And they're movies about Jason Bourne, certainly action movies. But underneath it all, it's this saga where this particular man, Jason Bourne, has a case of identity amnesia. He forgot who he is. And the whole underlying theme of those movies is Jason Bourne's search for who he really is. Listen, my friends, there is a spiritual war going on against your sense of identity. And if Satan is so brazen, if he has the audacity to come against Jesus himself, don't you think he has the audacity to come against you and attack your sense of identity? If he has the audacity to come against Jesus and say, if you're really the Son of God, don't you think he'll come against you? Just who do you think you are and who you can be? And listen, you can let the world tell you who you are, or you can let God define your sense of self and your potential and your possibilities. Now, Satan himself uses a lot of different tools to attack your sense of identity. He uses the opinions of other people, and some of you crumble at the opinions of others. Satan uses hurt, and he uses pain in your life to deceive you and disguise your sense of identity. Because if he can get you resentful and bitter, if he can make you chronically angry or ashamed, he knows you're going to miss out on your sense of identity. He uses media and culture. All around you, there are messages saying, why can't you look more like this? Why can't you dress more like this person? Why don't you have this kind of talent? Why don't you have this kind of ability? Don't you know this is what counts? Well, this is what's important. And then he puts thoughts in your mind. Let me be very, very clear. You are in charge of the thoughts in your mind. But Satan himself can put thoughts there. God can put thoughts there. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit wants to influence your mind. And that's why we're given the sacred scriptures, because the scriptures are what? The sword of the Spirit, so that in tandem, the Holy Spirit and the scriptures can influence our mind and how we think. But Satan himself can too. Who do you think you are? You'll never amount to anything. You think you can be forgiven for that? You think God can ever use somebody like you? When Satan brings those thoughts, they're either temptations or they are accusations. But listen carefully. You have the ability to discern, to expose, and to expel that kind of thinking from your mind. But these attacks come against your sense of self and your identity all the time. So, if all these tools are against me, the opinions of others, media attacks, culture, etc., how do I know the true me God made me to be, a good, healthy sense of identity? There's an old phrase, perhaps you've heard it, the me I see is the me I'll be. When you look in the mirror, what me do you see? There's a little prepositional phrase in the Bible that's found about 140 times. It is the most often used description of a Christian, of a believer, of a disciple. And here's what that phrase is. You ready? In Christ. In Christ. Because when I am in Christ, when God sees me, He doesn't see my imperfections, my sins, my guilt. What does He see? He sees me in Christ, and all that Christ has belongs to me. Now, I want us to go to a little... Now, that it's a small word, that word in, but sometimes a small key can unlock a door to a vast treasure. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now let me just stop right there. Paul describes this church and he says, you're God's holy people. And he would say to you today, believer at First Colony, you are God's holy people. And you would say, Ronnie, stop right there. I'm not blameless. I'm not sinless. I don't know that I can call myself a holy person. Yes, you can. Because you are holy not by merit. You are holy by the grace of Jesus Christ. Some of you have it backwards. You think holiness is the way to Christ. No, no, no. Christ is the way to holiness. And where real grace meets real faith, a dynamic occurs, and that person is declared holy, and over a lifetime they grow and develop in Christ. Holiness is a gift from God to you. Some of you have the idea that, well, I could never call myself a holy man or a holy woman. Maybe if I get 6 months, maybe 6 months of perfection under my belt. And I can say for 6 months, you know, I've not sinned in 6 months. No sin of commission, no sin of omission. I have gone 6 months without any sin. I guess you could say I'm a holy person. That's not going to happen. You know, I'm going to fail that test before we get out of this worship service, okay? I am holy. You are holy. People are declared holy not by merit, but by gracious decree. Do you see yourself that way? Because the me I see may be the me I'll be. Verse 3, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, notice, in Christ. Now, I want you to notice something in this verse. I want you to notice the past tense, who has blessed. That's done. That's been granted to you. Every spiritual blessing, not some, not most, all, every spiritual blessing. In other words, God is never going to ask something from you that He's not already provided. He's going to ask you to be patient with that person. You say, I have run out of patience. Well, when you run out of your patience, now you can tap into His. Well, I've run out of love. Well, when you've run out of your love, you can tap in to His love, His reservoir. He's never going to ask something from you that He's not already provided. You are in Christ. He is in you. And that's not all. Paul will continue in this passage talking about our wonderful blessings in Christ. And he'll say in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Notice the wonderfully generous terminology that he uses here. We have forgiveness in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished, not a dollop, he's lavished upon us. Everybody in this room knows what it's like. You can easily go there to feel rejected. In fact, some of you feel it more so than others. Some of you can walk into a room and you just assume everybody there doesn't like you. We all know, we all have those seeds of rejection in us. How wonderful to know that by grace, God can declare us his possession, his holy people, forgiven in accordance with the riches of his grace. And this grace is given. You know, we can say with the Apostle Paul, listen, I am what I am by the grace of God. And here's something about God's grace. It can build you up without inflating you. And God's grace can humble you without demeaning you and debasing you. Now, he continues on, or the scriptures do, in 1 Peter chapter 2 with another wonderful description of who we are and our identity in Christ. He says, but you are, 1 Peter 2 verse 9, you are a chosen people. And here what he's doing, he's using Old Testament selection language, where it was said of Old Testament Israel, they were God's chosen people. Not the only people he loved, but God's chosen ones, the ones through whom he would display his glory. And he says, that's who you are. You're God's chosen people. And then he says, you're a royal priesthood. Again, Old Testament imagery. In the Old Testament, the tribe of Levi was the tribe of what? Priests. The tribe of Judah was what? From Judah came royalty, kings. He says, you're both. You're not one or the other. You are a royal priesthood. And what do priests do? Priests have direct access to God. Priests offer sacrifices. And the Bible says you offer the sacrifice of your body, of your worship, of your money, and of your good works. And priests represent God to the people. You want to know who you are? You're a chosen people. God has selected you. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. That word nation is literally ethnos. You're a unique ethnic group, and your primary identity is, I belong to Christ, and he belongs to me. And you are, get this, God's special possession. I'm going to say something to you, and you might think it's outrageous. You want to know how much God loves you? Jesus, when he prayed in John 17, he prayed that all of us might have complete unity. And he prayed that we might know the love of God for Christ, the Father for the Son, and that kind of love he has for us. He loves you with the kind of love he has for Jesus himself, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. You are God's special possession. Now, how do you tell the value of something? Well, let me just ask you, what's your worth? What's your value? I didn't ask you your net worth, but what's your value, your self-worth? Well, it depends, first of all, on what somebody's willing to pay for it, right? How much is your house worth? First of all, not as much as you think it is, all right? How much is your house worth? Answer, it depends on what somebody's willing to pay for it. How much is a piece of art worth? It depends on what somebody's willing to pay for it. And then also, it depends on who owns it. For example, you might have a book. Okay, it's a book. But suppose that book had been owned by Abraham Lincoln and signed by Abraham Lincoln. Or a desk. A desk is a desk. But suppose that desk had been owned by Winston Churchill. Or a piece of paper with some handwriting on it. But suppose that handwriting, those are the lyrics to an original Beatles classic. A baseball bat. Ah, but suppose it was the bat that Altuve used on Thursday to hit 3 home runs against the Boston Red Sox. By the way, you do know I'm wearing an Astros shirt today, don't you? Yeah. Out of everything I've said today, that gets the applause. I don't blame you. Hey, listen, I'm right there with you. It's an exciting time, right? So how do you tell the value of something? Who owns it? What's the price paid for it? Let me ask you a couple of questions, and let me just give you the answer in advance. The answer is Jesus. You ready? All right. What price has been paid for your redemption? And the answer is, and who owns you? And the answer is, if you are a believer, who owns you? To whom do you belong? You are God's special possession. Well, you know, culture says I ought to look more like this, or, you know, some of my friends say I'm not cool enough because I don't have so many likes, and I don't have as many likes as somebody. You are God's special possession. What did he pay for you? Answer, he so loved you that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you to pay your sin penalty. You belong to God. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he gives us this wonderful description of who we are. We are God's special possession so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. In other words, the grace of God doesn't come to you and it becomes a black hole. God didn't redeem you so you'll fit in with everybody else. God didn't redeem you so you'll just walk like the world. He redeemed you so that you might do what? Use your words, use your life, use your marriage, use your family, use your vocation to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And then he gives this wonderful statement in verse 10. And he's using Old Testament terminology. You remember the Old Testament book, the Old Testament story of Hosea? A lot of people remember the story of Hosea and his marriage. But remember, one thing God did, Hosea has a couple of kids. And he says, I want you to give these children special names. And here are the names. How would you like to be named this? One child was named No Mercy. Another child was named Not My People. Oh, those are your kids? Yeah, what are their names? No Mercy and Not My People. And then God says, now I want you to change their names so everybody knows. And we're going to go from No Mercy to now your name is Mercy. And your name is no longer Not My People. Now your name is My People. And with that picture in mind, once you were not a people, but now you want to know who you are? You are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. I've got 3 action steps for you. Here's the first one. Turn to God for your identity and your security. Turn to God for your identity and your security. You know, a lot of people turn other places first. Not bad places. Some people look to their marriage for their sense of identity, and they'll get married and expect their spouse to do for them what only Jesus can do. Some parents hope that children will fill that void. While children may look to their parents, others seek their sense of identity and their appearance or their career or their accomplishment. And listen. Those aren't bad things. Pay attention to how you look. That's good. Pay attention to your career. Listen, it's good to do a good, all that. Those are good things. They're just not ultimate things. What's the ultimate? You turn to God for your sense of identity and security. Here's a verse of scripture. I was praying it this morning. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He's my identity. He's my sense of security. Listen, sometimes things happen in your world. Maybe when you're younger, you think, oh, everything's just supposed to be idyllic. And then things start happening in your life, and you think, wait a minute. This isn't supposed to happen in my world. This isn't supposed to. But at some point, everybody reaches a day on your calendar when you realize the only sense of security is in a personal relationship with the living God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your rock, your refuge, and your fortress. He's my God in whom I trust. And when you get in your private place, your prayer closet, and you declare, God, my life is wrapped in you. My sense of security is in you. You're the transcendent one. You know, I'll pay attention to how I look. I want to do a good job. I want to save some money. But my sense of security and identity, it's not in money. It's not career. It's not in how I look. It's not how well the kids perform. It's not how many likes I get. Run to God for your sense of identity and security. And when you declare, God, you are the one I trust. You are my refuge and my fortress. You're saying, I'm not putting my confidence in anything else. Secondly, embrace your brokenness. I'm not saying we shouldn't try to get better and improve and grow. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this. If you had a magic wand and you could change anything about your life, here's probably what you would change. You would change a lot of those things that have gotten your spiritual attention. You would probably change a lot of those things that have caused you to sense, I am a weaker person, I am a needy person, I'm like a sheep who needs a shepherd. All right? You would probably change some of the regrets in your life. And I'm not saying that the things you did that you regret were good, but here's what they did. They woke you up to the reality, I'm broken. My life is unmanageable. I can't do this on my own. I need a shepherd. I need a savior. And just embrace the fact that, yeah, you've got regrets. Embrace the fact, yeah, there is brokenness there. And the good news is you may be weak, but he is strong, and that can make us a pretty good team. And it's that brokenness that wakes us up and sends us in the direction of the living God. And last of all, put your faith in the grace of Jesus Christ. When you need him most, you deserve it the least. But God says, come on, come on. Let's re-up. Let's renew. We can do this. My grace is there. My grace to show mercy. My grace to show help and strength. We can do this. And let me show you how this can work out in practical ways. Put your faith in the grace of Jesus Christ. Let me put some words up here on the screen. Grace. You know what that is? It's God accepting you. Put confidence that God shows grace to the humble. Grace is God accepting me. You know what faith is? Faith is when I accept that God accepts me. That's faith. Okay, I accept that God accepts me. You know what love is? Because God has accepted me, I can pass that along to you. Love is me accepting you. You know what fellowship is? You accept me. Love covers over a multitude of sins. I'll accept you, you accept me. You know what ministry is? It's accepting that God can use you and work in you and through you. Some of you have identity amnesia. You've forgotten who you were created to be. You've forgotten who you were redeemed to be. Stop listening to the lies. Listen to the truth. You are lovable. You are forgivable. You're acceptable. You are capable. You are useful in the hands of God. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's special possession. And you were created to display praises to the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want to close with this. Matthew West has a song called Hello, My Name Is. And Matthew West has a special place in our hearts here through his longtime relationship with Alyssa Ferguson. His song, Hello, My Name Is, has these lyrics. Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we've met. I won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me, and I'll beat you down till you've lost all belief. And then these transitional words, these are the voices, these are the lies, and I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, and I've been set free. Amazing Grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. What love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. I am the child of the one true King. I hope that's who you see when you look in the mirror. Jesus went to the cross. Then he went into the tomb. And 3 days later, he came out. And today, he's inviting you to come out from a decaying life. He's inviting you to come out of your past and come into the life and the destiny that you've been created and recreated to embrace. Now, I talked to you earlier about those communication cards. If you're ready to take a next step of baptism, if you're ready to take a next step to have a conversation with one of our church leaders here, you take that card today, you check that box, and in just a few moments, we'll receive those cards because it's important, may I remind you, that, yesterday afternoon, Martha and I, my wife and I, we went to a wedding. And when it was all over, I looked at her and I said, so did you re-up today? Because I think that's an important question, you know. Did you re-up? And thankfully she said, yes, I re-upped here. And I think every Sunday we get together, we sort of re-up with Christ. And every Sunday is a defining moment. But for some of you, it's time to take that initial step of opening up your heart, going public in your faith with Christ, being baptized into his name.